It's official. Amazon has confirmed its plans to put major offices in two East Coast cities, one in the Long Island City neighborhood of Queens, New York, and another in the Crystal City area of Arlington, Virginia. It's across the Potomac from Washington, D.C. In its announcements today, Amazon says it could get more than $2 billion in tax breaks between New York and Virginia so long as it hires 25,000 people at each location. The company also announced a new operations center in Nashville with 5,000 jobs. Let's hear more from our weekly guide to the world of tech, Recode. Kara Swisher is executive editor of Recode and host of the Recode Decode podcast. Hey, Kara.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. So we first learned about Amazon's decision from reporters last week. Does the company making it official tell us anything new or different about the plan?
It's official now that these are the places they're going. I mean, this has obviously been leaked out by them over time, but it's a done deal. This is where they're locating. It shouldn't come as a surprise to anybody. We were talking about that it wasn't going to be in a problematic state. And by that, I mean sort of rife with social issues. It was going to be somewhere that was super convenient for its executives, and also and where they could find a lot of employees, and these are two spots that sort of meet that need. It's going to definitely impact rents, which are high in DC, but not as high as say San Francisco or other regions.
Yeah, you mentioned that both these cities are already really expensive. They're also struggling to update their transit systems. I mean, you've been on the New York subway and the DC metro.
Right.
So, what are these new offices going to mean for infrastructure?
Well, so, you know, they're going to split them, and so it's 25,000 people. You know, I think it's just bringing more. I don't think it's going to be that big a tax. It's not that many people. It's not 100,000 people or something like that.
Sure.
I mean, you know, and this whole headquarters thing, it's not really the headquarters of Amazon. That's going to be Seattle. It still remains Seattle. I've always thought of this thing as a bit of a circus, a three-ring circus with cities, because there's all these other cities who bid and lost. And so there's lots of losers here, you know, in this race. And I'm always questioned if they should be doing any kind of giveaways to the world's richest man. You know,
let's talk a little bit about this whole national sweepstakes aspect.
Yeah,
Amazon was promising, 50,000 new jobs in total to the winner, $5 billion in investments over two decades. We saw more than 200 cities across the country applied for this. And now it turns out the company's going to New York and D.C., essentially. So did Amazon essentially play these other cities to get a better deal?
I don't know. Why wouldn't they make a big deal of it? I don't begrudge them that. But it's just, I think they were going to go where was good for Amazon. And why not make a game of it, I guess? You know, and interesting, Jeff Bezos has a house that he just bought in Washington, D.C. In a fairly tony area called Kalorama.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty close. You just cross the bridge right there. I just did it the other day. It's a really quick commute to where it is, to this house he's got here.
Kara, you also have a story up on Recode this week, and we'll link to it at hereandnow.org. You write in this piece that local retail still has advantages that Bezos can't replicate. Like what?
A dwindling number of them. I just bought a house in D.C. myself, thank goodness, before Amazon got here. and I live here part-time because my kids are here, but I've been buying some things for the house, which I haven't done in a while. I have a nice place in San Francisco. And so it was really interesting to try to not use Amazon because it was so convenient. It had such the advantages of data and customer service and delivery. And they really don't get anything wrong. It's really quite astonishing how few mistakes Amazon makes, given the volume that they do. And so I was trying really hard to do local retailer, and especially with the chains like a CB2 or something like that, I had real problems with them. They delivery costs were high. You know, they got things wrong. It was hard to reach them, and they just haven't gotten up to Amazon speed in that thing. And so then I found some local retailers, and certain things they were doing I thought were particularly interesting, like one local hardware store called Logan Hardware. I'm in the Shaw Logan Circle neighborhood.
Yeah.
The customer service was superb. You walk in and what do you want? And then if they don't have it, they call upstairs. You get to the top of the stairs, another person's there to help you. And so I thought that was important, this human touch that, because in Amazon, you're never speaking to a human really. And then in another store, there was incredibly unique products. It's called Miss Pixies. And Amazon will never be able to create that kind of store, the quirky, unusual, weird objects, all based on taste, you know, of the person who's running the store. Probably could get a lot of those things at Amazon, but it would have taken me I wouldn't have found them. I wouldn't have happened upon them. And so I'm relying on the curation, the experiential curation of a store so that you enjoy it more. But I got to say, even in these stores, they were like, we're getting killed by Amazon. Mm-hmm. The people walk in now And they don't even bother to pretend they're not ordering it right in the store. They see something, take a picture of it, order it on Amazon. That has changed the game a lot for these retailers.
That's Kara Swisher, executive editor of Recode and host of the Recode Decode podcast. Kara, thanks as always.
Thanks a lot.